You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
Good morning, Sean. T8WOJ.
Morning, Rick. How are you today? 30 degrees, expecting to get into the 50s.
Well, 50s would be nice. I just came in from guard duty. And I'll feed a cat this morning. There's 15 to 20 coyotes about 400 yards to the west of me. So I spent a little extra time out there on guard duty.
This thing works better when you get on the right frequency. Good morning, W8RCY. Yes, sir, they do. Good morning, Donald. Well, when you say guard duty, do you take a little something to pop a BB in their butt or something, or you just throw your hands over your head, shake them, and make booga 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 sounds?
Yeah, I used to take some equalizers out there with me, but I quit doing it because it seemed like a waste of energy there, but it appears like I'm going to have to start carrying again. But I do have a few little other equalizers I could use that are handy nearby. And usually, of course, there's not 15 at a time kind of thing, but usually you step out somewhere where they can see you and make kind of a loud noise, and they're gone, usually.
I'll take it. When that little boy was missing a few weeks back, I have a field Sean's familiar with, Rick, and we have coyotes back there, foxes, deer, you know, it's a skunk even, you know, we got everything back there. But I've been living in this senior campus for 12 years, and I've never set foot in that field because of coyotes and things like that. And I went back there with a flashlight, a group of people. We went looking through that field for that little boy, but I said, man, it's creepy knowing that those coyotes are out there, and I've not been back there since, and I never want to walk through there again. Yeah, I've been back in that woods a number of times. I grew up in this area, and it's all part of that. Well, I think that's separate from White Hill, but might be part of it. I'm not sure. But yeah, I'm sure there's yotes back there. I know they're a hell of a lot more afraid of us than we are of them or whatnot, unless you corner one accidentally or run into a rabid one, which I don't know, how's rabies run in the coyote community? I know it's really bad in skunks, but it's almost non-existent or unheard of in foxes and possums. What do you know about that, Rick? Are coyotes... any danger of rabies with them?
Yes, sir, and you're right about a couple of things. They are more afraid of us, but I kind of noticed that the city coyotes are way more used to people, so they're not near as nervous as the ones you get out in the country kind of thing. But and yes, they do get rabies. I've read and seen a couple of stories about them that kind of went bananas in a small subdivision one day and started attacking cars. Tore up the, you know, a lot of cars are made out of plastic these days, and tore up the front end of a car before somebody ran it over.
Well, like I said, when I moved here, we had plenty of deer, and they used to hop the fence and kind of lay out on our back side of our property here, and I could look down from my balcony, and one morning I had 7 of them out there, just laying in the grass, you know, looking around, and I made some noise, and they looked everywhere but up, but they're pretty much most of the deer population is gone except for a few stragglers, and sometimes the coyotes get to the babies and unfortunately have them for lunch. But like I said, the one thing here, though, is I can't find exactly where they're at. I mean, I've been out on my balcony with binoculars trying to find out exactly where they huddle, because I can easily, like, hear them and try to pinpoint the area, but right now with the foliage being so clear, like, I can see into the field quite deeply. Anytime there's an emergency vehicle going up and down DeQuinder, which is a major roadway for 2 cities and a hospital, they're howling right with those sirens. I mean, you know, the sirens start blaring and they start howling. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night. I know Madison Heights knows not to blast too much in the middle of the night, but City of Warren, they'll blast no matter what. And those coyotes, they'll just start howling at the sirens back and forth, and then the moment it stops, they stop.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's the one thing I can't confirm. Can't confirm a coyote sighting. I've had, of course, you know, aside from the common skunk, possum, we've got deer, fox, raccoons, everything. The only thing is I've never seen a porky anywhere in this area. And I thought I caught out of the corner of my eye what might have been a coyote in my neighbor's yard a few weeks back, or maybe a few months back, I can't remember, but just a little bit ago. And I wasn't 100% sure. You know, it wouldn't have been a dog, and pretty sure it wasn't a fox. We've had plenty of foxes, but no confirmation on the coyotes. Yeah, interestingly, on the rabies thing, yeah, possums and foxes, almost unheard of. I mean, it's not like can't happen, but that is, like, not something that should be on your list of things to worry about is a rabid fox. It's kind of funny how that works. And when I first started getting them, I started looking into that. Because they were very, you know, they're timid, and I wasn't worried so much about the dog or the cat. They were afraid of both of them, because they weren't much bigger than the dog and the cat. And they stayed clear of them. But I worried, well, what if one went rabid? And then I read up and says, oh, that's pretty uncommon. So, but coyotes, on the other hand, it's a whole different critter, so. But, like I said, haven't really quite seen those yet. Rick?
Well, Donald, I think Sean said. Nice to meet you there. I don't know if we talked before, but you're absolutely right. That's the way I found out they were down the street was the, I think one of the officers went by the intersection of Lone Pine and Middle Belt and saw them. And he gave a little whoop whoop on his siren there, and they went bananas, man. You know, I expected to hear one or two maybe kind of thing, but not 15 or 20 of them, and they went off for, I don't know, 2 minutes kind of thing, like they just made a kill. So they might have already made a kill. That's why they were all sitting in one spot, because usually when you hear them through here, one of the officers hits a siren kind of thing, they'll start going off, but they're all around you, 360, you know, there'll be 400 yards in every direction, a few over here, a few over there, a few. They were all in one spot down there, so anyway, I figured I better hang out there and protect the cat a little bit.
Gotta fry my note. I'm on high power, and I'm about 15 feet from my note. I'm gonna fry the thing, so I had to turn the power down. Yeah, Rick, the name is Donald, and yes, we have crossed paths before on the radio. I just don't talk as much as I used to. But, like I said, I've seen a major change of the wildlife back here. And right now, with, like I say, with the foliage being off and some snow on the ground, you can definitely, I mean, if it was that night that we were looking for that little boy, most of the snow had melted back there, so you were looking at dark ground more than anything else. And I went out there in two shifts, and when I took a break in between, I was watching, and I mean, there was just like 18 to 20 flashlights, you know, throughout that whole field as far back as you could see. But Sean mentioned something about a hill. I know there's a rise or a hill or like a lump of something in the middle off of the northwest corner of the hospital part of the property. Our property actually sits originally, the campus here, sits on the northeast corner of what used to be that massive field. I mean, we only took up a small percentage of it. And after this boy was missing, I did some measurements. And that field's almost a full quarter mile deep off of DeQuinder back to Park Court, which is the street that runs behind it to the west. And I, you know, and even hooks around the hospital a little bit off of its northwest corner. But it's a much bigger field than what it looks like on a GPS map, for sure. And there's a lot of undulation in it, as I would call it, elevation change. And I know there's a hill or a rise somewhere in it. But like I said, I've only been back there once and only viewed it with GPS satellites and things like that when they were dumping some stuff. At least the 18-wheelers that came back there. Break. They did some dumping along our fence line of some kind of, you know, concrete mush or whatever, and it damaged the fencing. And it's a low spot where you could just, anybody can hurdle it, even me at almost 70, I can hurdle that part of the fence. But, it's low enough to where deer can very easily hop, but I don't think a coyote can hop it for sure, because the standard fence is, what, 42 inches high, standard cyclone fence. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, it's called White Hill or White Hill back in there, and it's a rite of passage for all kids to hang out back there. And it was very popular with my kids and all their schoolmates and everything like that. And they would get into it. You know where what's that pizza joint, that Hippies or whatever, right there out in front of you in that strip mall? So there's that little strip mall there, and then there's the building that pokes out a little bit just south of it where the, I think there's a shawarma place. And you would go between those. You'd go between the strip that runs north-south and then the two buildings that are kind of by themselves. You'd cut in there, and there'd be a path straight up into the hills. And, just literally a rite of passage for kids in the area. You know, you say White Hill or White Hill, I can't remember if it's plural or not. Everybody say, oh, yeah, I used to hang out there when I was a kid, BMX biking and a mountain biking and stuff like that, or nefarious other uses. But a famous little enclave. I'm not even sure. I haven't been back there in so long. My kid, when we'd ride our bikes, he'd want to cut through there. I'm like, I ain't going through there. I'm too old to break my arm. You know, and so, and plus my bike wasn't set up for, you know, that kind of hills. I did once with him. I said, yeah, this is the last time I'm going to do that. But, anywho, used to go when I was a young man, though, you know, when I was a kid. So, I haven't seen it or paid attention in so long. It's still all wooded back there and whatnot when it comes back around. Anywho, yeah, I'll have to listen when I hear the sirens. I can't say that I've ever noticed that, but if they're that close, and I've got that Red Oaks, you know, and I got all the dirt roads up by me, and, you know, so, you know, maybe I just never noticed. I'll have to listen for that. W8FU, Rick.
Yep, you definitely got him. We all got him. Usually, sometimes, they're mostly nocturnal, but I don't know, broad daylight I see them sometimes. I had one lined up in the sights of my car there as it was about ready to run across the road, and he decided smartly that that wouldn't be a good idea. It would be hard to find out where they hang out, because coyotes don't usually hang out. I mean, unless they're... Having their young, they'll have a hole, and they'll stick around the area until the pups are big enough to travel with them. But like up north, they travel in like 100-mile circles. They just always on the go, always on the move kind of thing. And down here, I imagine they do the same thing, but smaller circles, not 100-mile kind of thing. Up there, you might have the yotes around for a couple of days kind of thing, and then all of a sudden they'll disappear for 2 weeks or, you know, and then they come back again there. But they're interesting critters, but, you know, they mean so often, like in the 50s, they got so out of control like they're getting now that the government put a bounty on them, so it looks like we're probably headed that way now. They tried to get out up in the UP. It's horrible. There's just hundreds and hundreds, packs of hundreds of them. And they tried to do some tournaments to get rid of some of them, and the tree hugger type of people there put a stop to it, so they're left unchecked. But I expect to see a bounty pretty soon. KEWOJ.
Leaving a little space in there. Yeah, Sean, you are correct. Even when I walk through it or even alongside of it or whatever, there's really only, well, they put like a gate opening in there when those semis went in there off of what would be the south end of the field, that line right next to the professional building and the hospital complex. Those truckers were bringing in these things and doing some dumping. But, yeah, that opening there between the shawarma place and the Indian cuisine place is still there. And the only other opening that I'm aware of is off of Park Street and Farnham, Park Court and Farnham on the west end. Those are the only two major entrances that I know. And I do see all year round a lot of kids walking through there. You know, I don't see too many of them riding their bikes. They're usually walking their bikes through because of the undulation and stuff, and they don't have BMX bikes. And then the other thing I see is we had some homeless people back there, and there was a homeless person that went missing, and they actually found him dead underneath the 11-mile road bridge at I-75, the guy they were looking for, because I guess he was camping out over there too. In the time that I've been here, but like, you know, my ex-wife used to work in the area. This place, this campus was just opened 50 years ago, and granted, I mean, I was only 19 at the time. 50 years ago, I don't remember it being here. I just remember Oakland General Hospital. So my knowledge of this whole area is only from what I know of since I've moved here, and I did not know, you know, this field existed. All I did was in the aerial shots realize that the campus is built on the northeast corner of what this property used to be. And the other thing I've heard when talking to Mayor Grafstein before she left office was, why wasn't the rest of this developed? Apparently there's some toxic waste in certain areas of this field that have had some dumping on it, and they can't safely build on it now. And if you look at some of the trees between me and the hospital, yeah, you could maybe see why.
Yeah, I failed to mention the, of course you could get it off, the subdivision side, Park Court or whatever it is. But, yep, one of my buddies tragically lost his son. He OD'd, but he went back there because they used to always hang out back there and do drugs and stuff. And he's a good kid, but he's just, you know, messed up in drugs, and he overdosed out there, and they found him dead under a tree out there. There's a memorial to him out there with a tree he died by. And, that was kind of tragic. Lost his son to drugs. And he happened to be right there in the White Hills. I think it was White Hill. I think that's all they called it. But, don't even know why it had that name. So yep, you're right. Homeless, drug use, and then just kids playing. What a combination, eh? And coyotes now. Sounds like just it's almost like Disneyland.
Yeah, I've run across a few stories, too, usually out west, of families having a little outing in the backyard with their, forest coming up to the edge of the yard kind of thing at night. They'd have a fire going and cooking weenies and all this kind of stuff, and the little kids, a couple little kids, one was about, I don't know, about 7 years old, six, 7 years old. He was wandering around playing at the edge of the property there, right near the woods. And apparently a coyote zipped out, grabbed the kid and took off. And luckily his brother, about 10, 12 years old, saw it and took off after him. And of course the coyote can't move very fast, but he's dragging a seven-year-old kid. So they get kind of bold sometimes, or they get kind of hungry, I guess. I don't know. But you usually see people, the coyotes don't bother people, but they do the little ones. Donald, go ahead.
Well, since we're on the subject, Sean, of everything that has gone on back there, my second summer here, which was 2015, Joe was over, and it was a Palm Sunday morning, and it was 8 o'clock in the morning. We're sitting out on my balcony. That table there has chairs beside of it. It's like a little, complete little set there. We're sitting out there having coffee, and we can see down over the field, and these people were, this couple were about maybe 50 feet from our fence line. They're back there doing a horizontal slide, and you can hear them more than you can see them. I mean, you can look hard, see them back there, but they're doing their thing. And when they were all done, Joe and I stood up and we just applauded them. And it's like the girl is screaming, you are just screaming obscenity. And it's like, you've got 2 9-story towers overlooking this field. That's about 160 units overlooking the field. You're going to think for 1 second that nobody's going to see you two back there? Oh, my gosh, but that was hilarious. I mean, we just stood up and applauded them, you know. There's just, the girl was just screaming. It was just hilarious.
Hold on 1 sec. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't get up and applaud after that, I was going to say, oh, you missed an opportunity, and bravo, that's what I would have done. And yeah, I was wondering that, Rick, you know, would they you know, take a little kid? I suppose if, you know, it was a, you know, infant or, you know, a very, very small child, boy, 7-year-old, I would think that that's got to be right at that cusp. That's got to be a pretty desperate animal. And, man, it shows the danger, right? So, yep, what are you going to do? And we got a lot of them. It's kind of weird, you know, how do they differ from a wolf, right? Wolves are bigger, I know. And, yeah, you got dogs, you got foxes, you got coyotes, you got wolves. They're all canine, but they're all very distinctly different. And, you know, and it's not just a dog breed. You know, they're very different. So, you know, and yotes we don't want, and wolves we kind of, I mean, I guess we don't want wolves, but we don't, you know, they're kind of protected. It's weird how one overpopulates and the other one is endangered.
Yeah, the wolves will usually kill coyotes on sight there, but up north in the UP there, it's a whole other ballgame because you end up with a couple hundred yotes in an area and only two wolves kind of thing, so they're kind of outnumbered. But in Canada, along toward the East Coast, an up-and-coming famous female singer was killed by a pack of coyotes in a park there. She was out walking by herself and kind of in the middle of nowhere, and came up on her and killed her, I guess. It's the only time I know of a recorded killing by coyotes of a person. There's been a few bites and threats and different kind of things go on, but it's the only one I heard of so far.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Thank you, young lady, for the reminder. Yes, yesterday while I was watching the news story about the local Warren man in the Secret Service, there was also news about a little boy that was being chased. 4-year-old little boy was being chased in his neighborhood by a coyote. I don't remember where. It could have been in Michigan. It could have been anywhere. But he was running, and in the video, you probably have about maybe 8 to 10 seconds before you see the coyote coming up behind him, still, like, chasing after the little boy that was screaming, and the little boy got in the house safely. But then you were saying something that one dragged off. I think you said a 7-year-old. Correct me if I'm wrong. I apologize. But, yeah, I mean, it's just everywhere. And, you know, Rick, you nailed it on the head up there in the UP. Wolves are everywhere, and I have a very, 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 very close friend, very near and dear to my heart, who went to Michigan Tech up there on a DNR scholarship, and she never made it to the DNR world. She ended up being a race car driver with a rally up there, and she's now retired from racing, but she drives the medical vehicle for IndyCar gets drivers to the care facility or to the hospital or whatever she does. But she's a few years younger than me, but we've known each other for God knows how many years. But she used to tell stories about the wolves and how they, like, befriended them on the campus. You know, they actually had, like, classes or whatever you call it where these wolves were being studied up there at Michigan Tech, of all places. And I've heard a lot of interesting stories. And she belongs to some society now that protects them, even though she lives out in Arizona now.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. You know, it's like it's so weird how, you know, you got one is an invasive species and, you know, and a nuisance and a problem and dangerous, and the other one is, you know, wolves are dangerous, let's not kid ourselves, but they mostly are not a problem, and, you know, they're where they're supposed to be, and, you know, you kind of cut them a little slack because if you're up in their area, you should know better. They're not down here saying they want to come back down and take over our area, even though we displaced them in the first place, neither here nor there. Yeah, you know, wolves are a whole different kettle of fish. And foxes, I knew less about foxes until I had a whole, you know, den of them living in my yard. Hell, at one time I had like 8 or 9 of them all bouncing and playing around in my backyard, you know, along with the pups and everything, not kids. And they're adorable. Love the foxes. They got a little bit comfortable with me, like where they wouldn't run, you know, immediately. I even had one that I thought I could coax, you know, in closer. And yeah, I tried. I tried to outdoor domesticate one of them. And I'd still do it, given a chance. I haven't had any recently. I seem to be high in the deer, on the deer scale, and low on the fox scale these days. So we'll see. That's why when I saw that one critter just recently, I thought maybe it was a coyote. I don't know if coyotes and foxes coexist, or if, you know, when you got one, you don't have the other. I know one thing. You got bunnies, you don't have foxes. When you have foxes, you don't have bunnies. So yeah, those are one of the first things. One of the first signs you got foxes, before you even see them, you notice, ain't got no more bunnies, which I do not. I do not have bunnies, so there's something in there. But I'm surprised Dakota hasn't. I wonder if he took the day off. He hasn't been in there. He's, I'm sure, got a lot of stories about coyotes. W8FU, I am on my final approach.
Okay, C8KJL, good morning, guys.
Cujo!
Hey, Tom, good morning, and welcome there. And, yeah, you're right. We have certain years, they run in 7-year cycles, but some years we have a batch of bunnies over here, but they never last very long. No time at all. They all kind of disappear. It's kind of sad. But and I have never had the pleasure of seeing a live wolf in the woods, out in the flesh kind of thing. I've seen the tracks. I've seen the leftovers of some of their dinners, but I've never actually seen one. It would be kind of a special thrill. But if I remember right, they reintroduced them. I think they trapped them. They trapped some off of Isle Royal, and then reintroduced them to the UP there. And it took a while, but I think they're making a bit of a comeback here. Go ahead, Tom. EEWOJ.
Hey, Sean. Since you're a Cujo, you got to take an extra shot of espresso.
Let me just jump in here real quick. It's because I'm parked. But yeah, it was just that one guy. He said, "Did you listen to that recording?" He did it like three times in a row, and I just got a chuckle out of it. Is all. It was really nothing. I'm severely less, extremely less bothered by it than I once was. I don't hear it all the time. So, all right, I'll catch you guys later. I guess Donald, and then you guys figure out where to throw Tom in there. I got to get inside. W8FU.
All right, Sean, but real quick, I've not seen a lot of foxes because of the foliage, but when it's like this, I remember seeing three little foxes chasing each other around in the field when I can see back there, and they scatter. They're chasing one another like at the speed of a bunny rabbit. I mean, they were really moving. I couldn't believe they moved that fast. You sir, have a wonderful day. I hope you get everything wrapped up and finished up and buttoned up before you go on. I guess it's a working vacation kind of a thing for next week. But all the best to you there. And, I missed everything that you guys were talking about that happened on that other network. I'm reading the comments, and it's like, what? What's all this Cujo stuff? Because I don't listen to that stuff anymore. I do monitor Detroit, of course, because everybody knows that's my home GMRS repeater forever. But whatever happened yesterday to get the other repeaters shut down, I have no idea. I'm glad I didn't hear it, but that's my take on it, and so be it. But let's see. We'll put Tom after me, and then Rick back to me.
Okay, Joe. No, Don, it was, you know, no repeaters are shut down or anything. We have a new operator in the group, and we were doing our group net last night, and he sat with me in our group meeting, and you know, he's really super nice. That was the easier way for him to remember my call sign, you know, KJO Cujo. And that's all he last time he goes, he didn't remember my name, Tom, so he just calls me Cujo, and I'm helping him with his DM32 as soon as I get a chance to get over there. So that's what all that was. But he said it quite often, so it almost became one of those games where you hear my name that you take a shot or something. So, super nice guy, though. It was just kind of funny. That's all he could say. Over to Rick.
Well, fellas, I'm going to wander out on the porch with my HT there. I'm just in case the oats are still in the area there. Do a little more guard duty. So, I'll probably miss a couple of rounds. So, I'll be taking the HT with me, though, so I'll be listening. I'll catch y'all later if I don't jump back in again. DEWOJ.
Okay, Rick, we'll leave you some space if you're still with us. If not, enjoy your time outside. It's going to be a wonderful day, too, by the way. And, Tom, yeah, I remember that part of the conversation. Last night I shut down kind of early. I usually am on the radio till about 9 o'clock at night, and then at 9 o'clock I start shutting things down. You know, the radio gets turned off, and usually the music comes on, but just after 7 o'clock, 7:15, I shut down early, and I put my headphones on, and I'm listening to some Pink Floyd super loud, and I see my phone blowing up with text messages and other things, and I'm going, like, what the heck is all this? And I heard about the problems on the .65 GMRS or 675, whichever one it is. I haven't been over there in so long, I don't remember which one's which. But that's why I got confused. Plus, I'm old. That's my biggest excuse. I'm old now. It's like my older sister always says to me, you know, it's your much older sister. I said, well, you're the only sister I've got. Well, now that I'll be in the 70s this year, along with my older brother and older sister, I will belong to that generation club. But, yeah, I got confused on what was going on and everything else between what I hear on this band or these bands and what I hear on the other bands and networks. So, but like I said, I have an excuse. I'm old. You looking at a long day, sir, of being on the road?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty... It's going to be a pretty lengthy day. We're going up to Traverse City, and then we got Reed City.
Okay, Rick's not back. I heard you say Traverse City and something else. You cut out on a couple of a bit of your conversation. I heard you say Traverse City and something else. What was the other city?
Oh, sorry. I'm in front of my coworker's house. And he was looking in his mailbox, and he had this package. So he picked it up, and he shook it like, I wonder what this is, kind of thing, like a Christmas present. So I was talking to him real quick. We're going to Traverse City, and then we have to go to, I think, Reed City on the way back, and then shoot back this way.
Okay, copy that, Reed City. Okay. Oh, that's still a bit of a trek, and it's an all-day affair for sure. Man, I don't know how the heck you do it. I mean, I used to do some crazy driving in my time. In the early 80s, like from 80 to 85, I used to drive limousines. And I used to, there was a coach building manufacturing company up in the town of Forrester where my girlfriend's parents live. And we used to do bonsai runs with no plates on the vehicle, just a paper. We just had paperwork with us. And it was actually cheaper to transport a limousine by normally driving it than it would to put them on a transporter because it was a specially built transporter, you know, a tractor, trailer, rig, or something like that to do it. And we used to do these bonsai runs, about 3-4 cars at a time, with cars in front of us and cars behind. It was like a convoy. And we've only gotten pulled over a couple of times, but 24-hour nonstop runs from Forrester, Michigan, all the way down to Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Beach area, and even before South Beach became South Beach, which I think is an extension off of Fort Lauderdale, if I can remember correctly. 24-hour nonstop runs, but I was also probably 30 to 35 years younger and crazier. And the only thing you stop for is gas, potty breaks, and a snack to have on the road while you're driving these things down the road. And, yeah, bonsai runs for sure, 24 hours. And you're doing, what, 12, 14-hour days yourself on the road? I don't know how you do it, but my hat's off to you.
No, I don't do it's very rare that I'll do a 12 to 14-hour day. I mean, we did that on Tuesday. We did, 13 hours in Battle Creek, but my coworker and I, we were bound and determined to get the task completed for this company. And it just took a little bit longer because there were passwords in the controllers that we didn't know, so we had to go to each one and basically factory reset it and then reprogram it. Once we did that, then they all came online, and there was 8 of them throughout two large hangars and offices. So we got it done, and customer was happy about it and saved them some money of costing for an upgrade. And then we just took it home. We didn't get home until like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I copy that. But like I say, it's my hat's off to you. Because, I mean, granted, you get to, I don't want to call it a break from driving, but, you know, you have stops to make. And even back when I drove limousines, in the early 80s, you know, you go and you sit. You can sit, you know, for an event, 3-hour concert, 3-hour sporting event, something like that. And you still have a long night of a 8 to 10 hour night, even though you sit for maybe 3-4 hours in between the to and froms and other points of along the way. But the closest thing, like I said, I ever came to were these 24-hour nonstop bonsai runs where you only stop for fuel. And you do everything when you stop for fuel. You grab a snack, like I said, do the bathroom breaks or whatever. Nobody stops for nothing. And we've only been pulled over a couple times, and no plates on the vehicle, no nothing. We didn't even have paper plates. We had the paperwork that got us by, and just told them, hey, we're just transporting these vehicles from Michigan to Florida. This is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And after a while, they got used to us and kind of let us through every time. But 24-hour runs, I can't even imagine doing that today. And on another note, when my daughter, who lives in Vegas now, got married, she came to visit, and her husband, she's a surgeon at a hospital. He works for Wynn and Encore Casinos, right? They drove from Las Vegas to Michigan here to visit, and I asked my daughter about the drive and everything else, and she said, Chris drove 38 hours straight. And I pulled Chris aside, and I said, so help me God, if I ever find out you drive 38 hours nonstop with my daughter in a car, we're going to have a conversation. And he said, yes, Mr. Garan, I'm sorry. Jennifer offered to drive, and I said, no, I've got it. And I said, no, next time she offers to drive, you make sure she drives, because I don't want you driving with my daughter in a vehicle for 38 hours.
Oh, yeah, I can totally understand that. I haven't done anything that lengthy. I mean, I went with another coworker down at St. Louis, and we drove 10 hours, but we did stop for a break, fuel, and get some snacks, and we just continued on. But we did it. Got there before all the other guys came in from Chicago.
W-8-R-C-Y. There's the famous movie that came out called Cannonball Run, and that was a spoof movie off of what actually used to be the Cannonball Run, run by the editors of Road and Track, Motor Trend Magazine, Car Magazine, and they used to run from coast to coast, and I don't remember the record time anymore, but I knew it was slightly over 40 hours nonstop, craziness, silliness, you know, radar detectors, high speeds, you know, out running the cops and everything else. There's a long history behind it, especially if you read magazines like Motor Trend and Road and Track. But when my son-in-law did that, I just, you know, I can't imagine. I remember doing, like I said, 24 hours to Florida. I did it, I think, four or five times. And basically, you flew down. Or you drove down, but they had to put you on an airplane. These companies put us on an airplane to get us back home because we had no way of getting home. And it was like I said, I mean, I look back at it now, and the stuff I used to do, even when I was 18 and the drinking laws were 18 back then, I, you know, in a sense, knock on wood, I'm alive to tell the stories.
Well, that's a good thing, and you're here today. Yeah, I mean, I did some crazy stuff, too. That's a whole other day and a whole other conversation. Let's leave it at that. All right, I got to get going here. Co-workers on the road in front of me. And we got to, bumpy road. Got to coordinate our path to Traverse City. So I'll say 73 in your final, Dom, and catch you later. KCKJO.
Yes, Tom, you and your coworker, all the best today. Safe roads, safe travels. I am slowly coming back on the radio. First half of this year, first 6-8 weeks of this year so far have not been easy for me. And got past some hurdles. And my goal was to be back on the air normally, or as abnormally as I usually am, after the first of the month. But I'm getting confirmation letters that are things that are all now past and so on and so forth. So, I'll be back on the radio, just slowly easing my way back into it. And my confidence is coming back as well because I've been troubled by so much stuff. People who've known me for a couple of years now, 2-3 years, have noticed weight loss, and I'm still losing weight. I mean, I've lost probably more than half of myself. And now I'm just trying to get healthy, get my heart healthy, lungs healthy, mobility issues healthy with all this weight off of me, and we're just going to go from there. So you might hear me on the radio a little more than unusual times lately, and that's for everybody out there, just not you, Tom. Again, have a great day, all the best, be safe, and we'll catch you maybe over the weekend. W-8-R-C-Y, we are clear for now.
Have a good one, Don, KCKJL.
connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KD9QLK, monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KD9QLK, monitoring.
WABD mobile.
KZ8Z mobiling.
Connected to CMN Network.
KD8VSI, mobiling as well.
A mobiling we shall go. I'm just heading out of the sub now, so I'd probably got some good bacon frying up for you there.
All right, I just got onto Orion Road from Rochester, so you're not far behind at all.
Afternoon. Heard some activity on my radio here, so I thought I'd jump in there and say hi. But very good. Enjoy your brunch or whatever, lunch. So get on that antenna though. Well, you are kind of down in a hole. So all right, catch you later.
Yeah, good to hear you, Eric. Yeah, I'm at Rochester Road and Orion Road right now, so I'm a little ways, but there's nothing out here for me, so I got to take what I can get. Greg and I are going to Bald Mountain to Poda. Hopefully, we'll see you soon at one of those when it warms up a bit, I would imagine. Okay, I'm probably frying it up right now, so I'll say see you later for WATAP-KZ.
WAVAP. Actually, you're pretty good right there. Are you guys aware of the worldwide bunkers on the air? If that is true, I would say that Riverbends Park or anywhere within 1,000 feet of Riverbends Park would be a BODA site, Bunkers on the Air. So I'll definitely meet you there. But real quick, I'm thinking within the next month I will be able to drive short distances and finally get to take my back brace off. So still have several months to go before I can do anything meaningful, but I'm getting there. So yeah, look that up. Worldwide Bunkers on the Air. You probably already know about it.
I did not know about it. I will definitely look that up because Riverbend qualifies. That's going to be a great one. Okay, I'm up and down the hills on Boyan Road. Talk to you later. Maybe.
Make sure that Nagoya antenna is straight up and down. I'm just giving Jack a hard time. Jack, if you're out there listening, it's because I love you. I'm just giving the Jack advice. If Jack's not out there, I got to give the Jack advice. So, anyhow, catch you later. WATAP.
I doubled with you, Eric. Anyway, I just said I was glad to hear that now you're making progress and hopefully more to come. So that's awesome. And the Bunkers on the Air, I have not heard of. I'll be looking that up myself.
Yeah, if you go to the website, it's worldwide, so it's all different countries. And I clicked on Michigan, but I couldn't find a list of the bunkers in Michigan, but I'm pretty sure the Riverbends Park, because it was the old Nike base, because it showed other old Nike bases around the country being used. So I don't know if the physical bunker actually has to still be there, or it only has to be an area where there was a bunker, but I know that the missile sites around the country and around the world were being highlighted as bunkers to operate from. So, yeah, I would look that up, and Riverbends would be a good one. And there's a few other ones, too, around.
I'm going to say, you found that. I'll check it out, because that would be something else to do, and it sounds pretty cool, and there might be some better locations. So, all good. All right, I am concentrating on the junk dirt roads, so probably getting out of the range as well. Talk to you soon, KTACSI.
Hey, Greg, I heard someone else key up in there. Someone else want to get in there?
Said I heard you out there. Hold your antenna straight up. It's right.
You know, Jack, that advice works in all aspects of life, no matter what it is. Hold your head up high. Hold your antenna up high. Proudly.
Because these repeaters, they're all Motorola, and that's Motorola, that's how they do it.
Yep. Okay, Jack, have a good one. It's about lunchtime for me, but I'll be out here. So I'm going to probably sit outside today. It's supposed to get up to 50 degrees today, Jack. I'm going to sit out on my balcony, talk on my radio. So maybe I'll talk to you in the afternoon. WATAP.
Good to hear you out there, man. Good to hear you out there. I hope you hurry up and get going. Be soon. Don't worry. Don't think about it too much and all that. And you'll be all right. Stay up at ECRC.
K-E-A-W-O-J, good afternoon.
Hi, good morning, Rick.
Yeah, my name is Brian.
That was funny because I was trying to remember your call sign, and I was going through QRZ and it wasn't getting anywhere, and then I just went on a whim and I said it and I got it. Go ahead.
But I recognize the voice. Seems kind of familiar.
Well, it used to go by K-E-H-Z-R-I, Zulu Romeo India, but I changed it to N-A-C-Z-R. Yeah, I got a question for you, Rick. You know, I heard you talking in the morning about guns and stuff like that. And do you know about the TCL, what they're going to charge this year or not, whether there's going to be a fee? I keep hearing rumors that they dropped the fee. I hear $60. I hear $115. So I just thought maybe you might know something about that. Go ahead.
No, I wish I knew what to tell you. I'm curious what's going on myself because the Supreme Court made the TPLs and registrations and all kinds of things unconstitutional. So I'm eager to see, you know, what happens out of that nationwide. But the wheels turn kind of slow, so it might actually be a couple of years before any of that gets implemented. You still there, Brian? I hope you got a phone call and didn't run off in a ditch.
No, I don't think my last transmission went through. Yeah, I was just saying, I got a renewal notice from the state, and they want another $115, and, I keep hearing all these different changes about it and everything, and I just thought maybe you might know something about it, because I know you were talking about it the other day. Over.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you. I truly don't know, but I know with any kind of questions like that, they usually tell you to contact a Second Amendment firearms attorney in Michigan. There's quite a few of them. I don't think they're that expensive either. They can usually answer just about any kind of question like that.
Okay, Rick. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the information. I'll look into this a little bit more, and if I hear something, I'll let you know. I think I got a year or something, you know, to do the renewal anyway. They let you go 1 year after your birthday. So. Okay, nice talking to you. 73s. It's getting near lunchtime. I bet a lot of guys are going to want to use this radio. So, hey, we'll talk to you later. This is NADZR. We'll clear up to your final.
Okay, Brian, nice catching up with you again, and you have yourself a good one. Sorry I couldn't answer it for you. I don't have a CPL myself. I never did have one. I kind of thought about getting one a couple of times, and I was just, I don't know. Never did get around to it, so I'm really not up on that stuff, but... there's plenty of people who are, though. Anyway, have a good one. I'll catch you later. K-E-A-W-O-J.
W-E-A-K-L-L-K-F-A-E-I-C. K-F-A-E-I-C. Clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
UK, Pierre. N8ROZ.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good afternoon, this is Tim, ADHJL, doing a quick radio check. I'm moving radios from one car to another. Looking for a trip coming up. Just want to know if anybody can tell me if I've got it moved over properly. If you could quick signal report, that'd be great. Otherwise, hope you have a good afternoon. 88JL.
88JM, this is NHBVD. You're 5'9". Sound good.
Connected to CMN Network.
Appreciate it. I'm using a little mag mount quarter wave, so 5'9 is better than I expected, thanks for the report. 88JL.
You're welcome. NHBVD.
Now that I think about it, this is a 2-meter only quarter wave mag mount. This is 440, so who knows what the SWR is to my radio. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. 88JL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah. What was that? Oh, that's your phone thing. Okay. So I'm just wondering, I guess it's looking like you're not going to make it.
I mean, I could leave right now, but I'd be there after 2, so there's no way I could get there by 2 now.
Well, I can wait if I know you're coming.
All right, I'll leave now. I'll see you there as soon as I can. I've got, did you see the picture I sent you with the attenuator? It's 2 of them, that total 10.
Oh, yeah, that should work. That's fine. All right, see you in a bit.
All right, on my way. W8FU.
Connected to CMN Network.
This is KE8MCH. Anybody on the frequency today?
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFASQN listening. KFASQN listening. KFASQN clear.
Valley Marrows up north, WIUG, lady. Long on radio.
Ready, KFA, SQN, clear.
currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU. Phil, you listening? I'll be right here. Got some news.
Well, I'll be right here for the next 41 minutes. Standing by.
AE8WOJ.
That ain't DBF.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Wait, actually, yeah, you still out there?
KCAKJL.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Coming from a foot and a half snow to no snow. Crazy.
I'm literally driving with my windows cracked and a t-shirt, and I love it. I'm ready.
Yeah, but tomorrow I hear that white fluffy stuff is supposed to return. Who else we got out there besides you, Dakota?
AEAWOJ. Hello, Ray. Pick it up.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Good to hear from you this afternoon. Yeah, so long day.
Yeah, you as well. Heading home for the weekend here, finally. And, yeah, I wasn't going to go in today because I felt like crap. So excited to get out of here and excited to come out to some sunshine and some 60-degree weather that I can embrace on the drive home. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I went up to Traverse City, where they still have a lot of snow for something senseless. And then drove down to Reek City, took care of that quite quickly. Now I got to stop off here in Bertrand for some fuel for the second time today.
Yeah, I heard you saying you were heading up to Traverse today. I was going to try and find an all-star connection up there and give you a call, but I figured you probably wouldn't be listening to the right, to the same station I was on anyway. Dakota, I had a nice little visit down the street from about 15 coyotes this morning.
If only I could be so lucky, Rick. I would love to see 15 coyotes running around my area.
Well, that's different. Where you live, that's different. I like to see some foxes in my area.
We got a few foxes over here, but the ones I've seen are real mangy. I kind of feel bad for them. Even middle of winter, their coats are sometimes almost gone in places, like bare skin and real mangy. Looks like they're having a pretty hard time of it. But, yeah, I didn't get to put an eyeball on them. They were about 300, 400 yards west of me this morning. A cop hit his little siren there, that whoop, 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 they do kind of thing. And about 15 or more of them went off right down at the corner here. So I don't know if they were making a kill down there. Usually they're spread out a lot more. When you hear them go off, they're all surrounding us kind of thing. But they were all down in one spot, so I think they had a deer down over there.
They very well could have. Yeah, that's like the best goosebump feeling when you're in the woods and you fire up the call and you hear them respond. I love that. I haven't had that happen in a long time. The last time it happened, I was actually in a deer blind with my buddy, and he fired up the call, and they responded. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, turn the call off. They're walking in. And he goes, dude, that's not the call. That's how close they were. We just unfortunately couldn't see them. But talk about getting a little bit of a little blood flow going.
That sounds like fun and kind of neat. I'll be right back, guys. I got to put fuel in this thing. KKKGO.
Okay, Tom, and yeah, I know what you mean, Dakota. Sorry. Keep hitting that other button. I had a coyote call. It was like a trumpet kind of thing with a duck call on the end of it kind of thing. I had a ball with that thing. Me and another fellow went up to Pigeon River one time, middle of summer, and when the season was open again. And I got way back, about a mile back in, and there's a big couple of open fields there, and I started calling, and I got some callbacks from them kind of thing. So we got all set, and it turned out there was four of them coming at us kind of thing. I could hear them. And when they popped up, they were only, I don't know, 25 yards away. They were all pups, four pups, and I threw the AR up to shoot, and my buddy was standing there right at the end of the muzzle. And I was waiting for him to move, and he never moved, so I never got shot off.
They're fun to hunt, but it's a dedicated effort. It's not like you just go out there and start shooting them. I mean, some people get lucky, but they're hard, they're smart, they're small, they're fast. They don't like coming close. About that time of year where I think I need to start. Oh no, they changed the stupid laws though. We can't hunt them until what, July?
No, I just got a email from the DNR today saying they got another season now, a coyote management season that runs from April till something like March or April to October, middle of October kind of thing. They're kind of starting to figure out that they're getting a little overpopulated.
Well, you know what's amazing is they used to be open year-round. You could shoot them year-round. And we were starting to do a better job managing the population. And then they switched it again. And we couldn't shoot them for like 3 or 4 months out of the year because of the bugs.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought that was kind of silly, but... good old government, that's the way they are. But yeah, anyway, they sent me an email saying that they got a new season now, a management season kind of thing. So it's open a good portion of the year now.
Well, good. This is a number two. So first place, the news is that one is causing issues with other small games.
Welcome back. Go ahead
and take it. Oh, my God. I told Dakota I'd be right back. And it's just like one call after another, and this, that, and the other. I had to deal with the incoming text. Good grief. Dakota, I was not able to deliver on my promise of this Friday, so I went to I did the next best thing. I pawned it off on someone who I trust entirely, and they said they'd take a look, and they're going to see if they're going to even take a look tonight. So I'm not going to rat them out, but it's in good hands, and hopefully we're going to move you along.
No sweat at all, Sean. I wouldn't have been able to get to it this weekend anyway, so it's not a big deal, and I know you've been super busy trying to prep for next week. So whomever this mystery person is, I appreciate it, and hopefully it's decent and it'll serve its purpose.
Well, if the person's successful,
successful, I'll let him take credit.
I think I know, but I'm not saying
I'll protect his identity.
Yeah, I was just,
I just thought, man, I just can't, this has just been nuts. You know, it's like, I keep figuring, and today would have been perfect were it not for some other things. Because that one problem I generally have wasn't present.
You guys double there, Sean won. And again, I know what you mean. You know, right when you think you got time to get something done, something else comes up. That's the story of my life. That's why I'm pulling my hair out half the time. But either way, I appreciate it. Like I said, this is not a pressing issue. This isn't an urgent one. It's a convenience thing that is definitely not essential. So I appreciate it either way. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I was just curious there if you had done any calling in your area there. It seems like every time I played with that call, even over in this area, I was getting responses. You know, of course, it was usually in the middle of the night, though.
I don't even need to call. I can go outside at dusk and I hear those things firing up. They're all over the place. I've got them on camera walking down my driveway. Just waiting for the day that they're getting to scrap with my dog and I get to go out there and kill one. But yeah, they're everywhere. There's too many of them. Go ahead, Sean.
Isn't it no season? It's no limit. It's just any time. Shoot on sight kind of an affair.
Yeah, it was, and then like Dakota pointed out, they changed it for a while. About 3 or 4 months, you couldn't shoot them while they had pups. And now I just got an email this morning from the DNR saying they got a new season now, so they're opening back up, and it's open pretty much most of the year. But from what I understand, you always could, if they were about to do damage, you know, to livestock or whatever, pets kind of thing, you could take them anytime. But I kind of envy you there, Dakota. I imagine I'd be spending most of my retirement out there chasing them things. I really can't get around to doing it anymore.
Yeah, Sean, they opened it up because the population was getting so out of control, and then they closed it back up like 2 years later, which blows my mind. I don't know if it was a pilot program or what, but my dad was hunting in that period, and they were hammering them year-round, like 2-3 dogs a night every time they went out. Especially, you know, if people go, oh, the poor pups, but they were hammering the pups because they're so dumb. You know, they're not educated yet, so they're running at the call. And it doesn't really matter what it is, right? You're taking it out of the population, and I forgot what the statistic was, but you have to kill, like, 75% of the population in an area, even put a dent in it because of the rate they reproduce. And don't worry, Rick, if I see one, it's on site, and it's just for you.
All right, guys, let me jump out of here, but, yeah, I was curious what was going on with that. All right, I just pulled in the driveway, wanted to relay that to you before you got home, and I got to get inside and take care of a few things, because even though I'm home, the day's not quite over. I got some follow-up stuff I got to do. WNFU, Rick.
Hey, Sean, we'll catch you later. And, yeah, I got the email here. March 2nd starts the Michigan's new coyote management season. Let's see. It runs till March 2nd through October 14th, which sounds kind of short. It seemed to me the other season used to run to into February, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand what they're trying to accomplish with these stupid seasons. That's Michigan DNR for you, though. All of our seasons are screwed up. Every single one of them.
Yeah, I got an email from them yesterday or the day before complaining that the hunters' numbers were down 30 to 40% kind of thing. See, I wonder why.
This was the first year since 2015, maybe sooner, or old, 2014 maybe, I don't remember. I've probably 10 years that I haven't bought my migratory birds license and my federal duck stamp. And it's because the seasons are so jacked. They end too early. They don't go late enough when the birds are actually migrating. And it's a joke. And the limits are stupid. The fact that I can only shoot 5 Canadian geese blows my mind. They should be a year-round open season because of how many they are. There are, but the numbers are going to continue to go down because they keep jacking the price of the license up, which I'm all for. I know it goes towards conservation and whatever, but why are they changing the seasons? Why are they reducing bag limits? Why are they, like, for a long time, too, it was the cottontail was a nuisance animal, right? You could shoot year-round. I just looked the other day. I'm pretty sure they put them back on a season.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. I didn't know about that. I haven't been able to do much hunting for quite a while. I think the last time I went deer hunting was 2010. And that was up in the UP, up UP around Big Bay there. I was kind of leaving a gap there. I thought Tom would be back from pumping gas by now. But, and then they got all the weird deer seasons now. They got the youth hunt and the other hunt. It seems like it starts at the end of September now kind of thing. And by the time the gun season comes around, the deer are already spooky as can be and gone nocturnal.
Yeah, I think youth season should be antlerless only. That's a bunch of BS. And I have someone who has little kids. I'm going to take hunting, and I think it's bullcrap that these kids are shooting these monster deer that I highly doubt they shot. Pretty sure it was dad. And as, you know, as the dad, it's like, why would you want to shoot that out of season? I don't understand the fun in that. But yeah, I agree. I watched it happen this year. They went nocturnal mid-season, and then we didn't start shooting them again until late antlerless firearm, which was, I'm trying to think when that last deer I shot was. It was late. December something. God, I don't remember when that was. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the seasons are all jacked up. You know, I'm glad that they finally gotten smart and start adding these auxiliary seasons for does and stuff because the population is so out of control. But, you know, the equipment regulations in the early seasons, I think, is more important.
Yeah, a couple, it seemed like about 4 or 5 years back, I guess it seems, for about two falls in a row, I'd be sitting out here on the porch at night having a cigarette there. A doe would go by, and within 5 minutes later, 3 or 4 bucks would be on her tail. Some of them were monsters. I was standing on the porch here, and one of them was coming right at me kind of thing, and I thought, man, this guy's mistaken me for another buck or something, but just at the last second he turned because the doe's scent went around the other side of the house. I mean, they're all over the place, and you can't even shoot a bow in your backyard around here.
That'd be the tough part for me, is not being able to shoot stuff in my yard. Even when I lived in Armada, I had an air rifle just for shooting squirrels and raccoons and possums and whatever else ventured into the yard. Now that I can actually shoot, I could shoot a deer if I wanted to, which is kind of nice, but that's the other thing. I think there should be a mandate for firearm season, except for muzzleloader, that you got to have a suppressor on your gun, period.
Oh, now why? You got me curious there. Why would that be?
When I shoot a deer with a suppressed gun, 9 out of 10 times the other deer don't leave the field. They don't know what happened. They're not super startled. And it's just, it reduces their skittishness to, you know, hearing all these booms, 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 especially opening day. It sounds like a war zone. If people were shooting suppressed, these deer would not be nocturnal by the end of November.
Oh, well, that's a really good point. I don't know if you noticed that video I sent you, the hogs in Texas there. When them guys got done with the chain gun there, they had suppressed ARs. And, you know, of course, they weren't shooting far, maybe 10 yards at the most, 20 yards, if that kind of thing. But the rest of the hogs in the field just didn't seem to be paying a whole lot of attention. and I could see your point. But then again, the way the rules are going now, if you have a threaded barrel, you now have an assault weapon. Doesn't matter what it is, even a single shot, a threaded barrel, you have an assault weapon.
Yeah, well, you just can't fix that level of stupid. I don't know who is going to enforce that. I don't even know how that became a thing. When you can look at my break action single shot 350 that has a suppressor on it and call it an assault rifle, when it takes me 3 to 5 seconds between shots to reload and fire again.
Well, that's, excuse me, that's the thing. You know, if you had a few of the points, a folding stock, a pistol grip, a detachable mag, threaded barrel kind of thing. If you had all of those things, I guess I could see the point there, but not any one of them. You know, if you have any one of them, they get desperate to disarm us from everything kind of thing. It's just, it doesn't end, you know. The states, when the Supreme Court agrees with them, the states are all yahoo, like yay for the Supreme Court. When the Supreme Court don't agree with them, they just go, well, we're going to ignore it. How's that work?
Same way it works for me. If the Supreme Court doesn't say, then I don't care.
KCAKJO.
Well, they get away with carrying permits and registrations and the whole nine yards, but from what I understand, it might take a few years for all that stuff to actually end up in effect kind of thing, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Go ahead, Tom.
I was just listening to a very interesting conversation, but I got my fuel, and I'm 65 miles from home. And this week, I think I've done probably about 2,500 miles.
Holy cow, Tom. You sure get around. Well, glad to have you back.
Yeah, I don't miss doing that much driving. Talk to the guy that took my old company car and he's still driving. It's got like 110 on it now. And I turned it in with, I think, 60 on it in a year. So I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
Hey, as long as I don't have to use my personal vehicle, then I am fine with it. I said today was Traverse City and Reed City. Then we did Hager Township, which is over there by Benton Harbor, Grand Rapids. Oh, I'm just losing track of everywhere. Battle Creek, Lansing. Yeah, I'm just losing track of where I'm going.
Connected to CMN Network.
Geez, Tom, you get around just as much or more than the U.S. mail.
All right, because I'm going to jump out of here because I'm going to start to get super noisy on the sound and almost home. I will catch you, gents, probably tomorrow in ACDF.
Dakota, it's Saturday. You won't be out. You're going to be sleeping in. W8RCY.
Have a good one there, Dakota. We'll catch you later. Always good chatting with you.
73, Dakota. And I forgot what you're saying, Rick. You know, in regards to me being all old. About the mail? Yeah, but I'm more efficient. I get there on time.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. You kind of get there when you're supposed to. Rather than when they feel like getting around to it. But that's just my neck of the woods. I don't know. I've had some pretty good mail carriers in other places in Michigan.
Well, the trip to Traverse City was kind of a waste because whoever took the service request didn't write everything in there exactly what was needed, and it was a wasted run, but we got them set up with the right people to get the right stuff done. I said, my coworker and I, we don't have the equipment to do it. And that would have been an all-day thing, changing out, what, 12 readers, 12 doors? You know, so, oh no, wait, it was only 4 doors, that's right. But still, all the programming and getting the phone apps all set up. So, you know, we gave it back to the sales guy to get it all taken care of properly. Hello, Donald. KKKJO.
Yeah, that was just a quick in and out, little cheap shot to Dakota saying that he won't be out tomorrow morning because he's going to be sleeping in. It's Saturday. I think he might have had a little, memory loss there or something. And I'm getting ready to take off because I got Friday night date night coming up shortly. So I'll be off the air probably till Sunday, maybe Monday, depends on what the plans are. And if I'm not on the radio, everybody have a great weekend. I may have a radio with me, but the little woman takes priority of the radio, and any time I pick up my radio, I just get that evil stink eye look, and as old as I am, I want to keep going as long as I can and not have the evil stink eye take me out. So everybody have a wonderful weekend. W8RCY.
Have a good one, Donald, and at least you know which side your bread's buttered on. Where the important things are. What is that saying? Happy wife, happy life, or whatever kind of thing. And, Tom, I'm kind of curious. I keep hitting that stupid thing. There's a little button next to the BTT that I keep hitting all the time. They still got a lot of snow up there in Traverse?
Oh, I did get half of that. I think I'm in between the Burt Tower and the, no, not Burt. Where am I at? I'm over here in Flint, but the Flint was kind of sketchy.
Okay, I got you fairly decent there. It was probably my fault. There was another button right below the BTT that I hit every once in a while. It stops the TBT or ST or whatever for a second or two. Fat fingers, you know.
Oh, no, it's me, too. I got kind of staticky, and I'm like, I went from Flint to Burt to Durand and trying to find the one with the better sound on it. I said, I'm going around the east side of Flint here on 475.
Oh, well, you're getting much closer to home. I know usually when I hit the 475 there, when I lived in Lapeer there, I was starting to relax. Thinking, well, just a hop and a skip to home now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can see downtown Flint here from the freeway, so I think I got about another hour drive, and then I'm going to go home and relax. But, you know, you drive a lot is when you fill up your tank 2 and 3 times in a day. All right, I think I lost you there, Rick. Okay, Joe.
JP.
Hello, Joe. KKK Joe.
Well, hello, Tom. How's your day going, buddy? Sounds like you're driving as usual.
Are you done with work?
Yes, sir. Just pulling out of the parking lot here, heading home.
Now, do you live around Blue or no?
No, I work in Clinton Township, but I live in New Baltimore.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I used to be a traveling man like yourself, but and I'm spoiled now, about 25-minute drive with no traffic, so much less stressful.
There's not that much stress. It's just the idiots that are ahead of me and behind me that bother me. That's about it. I just haven't been able to get over to his house on program of the PM32, so I'm going to try to see how that rolls over the next couple days.
Oh, you're talking about Blue? Does he have a code plug? No, there's one of those on the website. I think two of those on the ARPSC website. You just need to help getting the radio.
Yeah, I think he needs a programming cable for it, and then getting into the radio. I haven't seen the cold plug that's on the ARP site just yet. I just used the one from Cliff, and then put my my DMR ID in it. I haven't really modified it yet.
I got you. Yeah, I can, if you're hurting for time, I can reach out to him and probably stop and do that sometime during the day. He did ask me to email him and look him up on QRNet, but I've been pretty busy and I kind of forgot. So just let me know if you need a little bit of help. I'm happy to help.
Yeah, if you got a code plug for him and a cable and then show him how to do it, that'd be great. I just don't know when I'm going to get over there. Like I said, he's down by my old high school there. He's literally on the street that my old high school's on. But being out here on the west side, I was going to try to do it yesterday, but I didn't get out of work till, oh my gosh, later. I know I had a 13-hour day? Yeah, 13-hour day on Tuesday, and then yesterday was a 10-hour day.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, well, hopefully they pay you well for all that work. As a government worker nowadays, they're pretty stingy with the overtime. They'll let me work all I want, but they want to give me comp time. They don't want to pay me for it. So try not to do much past my standard 8-hour shift.
Oh, I make decent overtime. You know, it makes for a fat paycheck on Friday. You know, and I mean, if they gave me comp time, then I'd have more time than I already have. Right now I got 7 weeks. I mean, how much more can you give me? I don't even use it all up.
It ain't easier.
Yeah, I feel you. I think I have 3 weeks PPO right now, and I couldn't imagine taking 3 weeks off. But anyway, so go ahead, Brian, and it ain't shippy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hey, on the ARPSC website, I have a cold plug up there alongside the cliffs. And, you know, you could use my cold plug or parts of it, you know, just take out what you don't want. It's got everything in there. It's got marine in there. It's got GMRS. It's got air in there. It's got MI1, MI5, MI3, MI2. It's got everything.
Do you have MI6 in there? You know, because that's from England. How's it going, Brian?
Good, Tom. Going real good. Did you say MI6? No, it's not MI6 in there. I think that's not microwave, or...
Oh, you must not watch NCIS. MI6 is also for British intelligence.
Oh, I got you.
I don't know if 007 has a ham radio call sign or not, so you got to watch out for those things.
Cliffs, you know, you can always download it from the website. Okay, talk to you guys later. 73, this is NATCR. We'll be listening.
Well, Brian, now I'm going to have to download your code plug and take a look at it and modify it. So, something else for me to do this weekend. Oh, boy, I'm going to be busy. Okay,
see you, KDO. Go ahead, Joe. Yeah, thanks, Tom. I'm pretty sure I just doubled with both of you guys. Sorry about that. Still learning. yeah, thanks, Brian. I'll check out. I'm going to download. I have Cliffs on my DM32s right now. I'll download yours, though, and check them out and see if we can't get Blue hooked up here. I'll send him an email when I get home. I think you're getting out of range, Tom. I didn't get any of that last go. But
I'll be monitoring here for another 20 minutes or so. So if you can hop on another another repeater, I'll hear you. But 73 for now, and 8HAP.
KJOKAWOJ. Sorry, bud, I lost my connection there for a little bit. But yeah, you were booming right in there when I came back, and then all of a sudden you disappeared again. But if you start getting near Lapeer, let me know. I can. Lapeer's got an all-star node I can reach there pretty easily.
I'm still here.
But at least now it's getting readable again, so you're getting closer to one of them.
That's funny. I'm pulling away from all three, from Holly, from Flynn, and from Duran. And I'm just east of Davis. And
well, cool. You must be up on a hill or something because I can hear you fine now. I'm just curious there. A while back I heard Lapeer's tower went down and kind of messed them all up, but they have an all-star now. But I was just curious if they got back online yet or not.
Hey, BZR.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Rick, I guess that tower is still down because I was talking to Y last night and he said he couldn't get into it. So he was using the radio that Joe gave him, bless his heart, and he was getting into the Romeo repeater and trying to get into Warren, but he had the antenna, you know, just laying in his bedroom and he just couldn't make it to Warren. But today he's going to put it on top of the roof and we'll see what happens. So I guess the Lapeer is still down. Over.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And if I remember right, Wyatt's in Emily City there. So, yeah, he was making it pretty good down there into Warren. And probably would have a easier time getting into Romeo there. But, yeah, he's a good little guy. I sure like that little fella. he's a knowledgeable young man. Impressive.
Yeah, I'm building a roll-up J-pole for him right now. He doesn't know about it, though. It's going to be a surprise. Over.
Oh, gotcha. That's pretty nice of you, but you better be careful. He might be listening.
Ah, that's okay. All right, Kenny, we're back to monitoring.
Okay, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. K8WOJ.
K8VSI Mobile.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K8KJO, K8WOJ.
I'm getting closer, Rick. KCKJO.
KE4GYQ.
Hey, Joe, good afternoon. And, yeah, I jumped on the Richmond repeater, so I figured you might be getting close to that now, uptown.
Are you on the All-Star node, Rick?
Yes, sir. I thought I'd wander over to Richmond and see if that helped you out any.
Oh,
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ, I didn't know how long you guys were talking. I didn't want to interrupt too much. I just got home about 45 minutes ago or so from Costco, and, oh, man, it feels good to sit down, relax, let my bones and all the joints stop hurting. Drinking a couple bottles of beer in one big mug, so maybe that'll be self-medication. I don't know if that's what that's called. Over to the other gentleman there. I didn't hear the call sign. KE4ZYQ.
Hello, Joe.
Hello back, and over to you, Rick.
Yeah, I just wandered back in the house here. I got to get out and feed the kiddies here pretty soon there. But I got comfortable on a porch, across my legs, and turned out my left leg went to sleep. I went to get up to go in the house. Darn near broke my neck.
Yeah, we don't want that happening.
I've been driving so long, that might be
just a ball of sore right now, getting out.
Go ahead, Joe.
Doing some shopping at Costco and then getting home and having the cart that I bring the stuff in with fall apart on the floor. It took me almost a half hour, 45 minutes to get the stuff off the floor with reachers and all sorts of devices. That was fun. I don't know if that's exercise or not, but when you hurt a lot after, I don't know. I didn't really feel like I exercised. I just stressed.
Yeah, you and Tom doubled, but I heard you both. And I got a sore leg there while the blood's coming back, and Tom's got a sore butt from sitting in the driver's seat all day.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, the only time I've stopped is to put fuel in this beast. And I said, we just pushed it up to Traverse City. That took a whole 10 minutes of nothing. And then hour and 15 minutes down to Reed City. Took care of that real quick, and then onward home. And that's it. We only stopped long enough to get fuel, and then just move on from there.
Okay, KE4ZYQ, I don't envy you on driving on the road with all of the lunatics out there. Going to Costco and coming back, I tell you, I don't miss traffic driving much on the big roads like Hall Road. People don't know when to start up and go when the light's green and everybody on the traffic the other way is stopped or not coming, and they take forever to get going, and by the time the fifth car waiting at the red light gets to the red light, it's time to stop again. It's like, oh my gosh. Why don't you eat a sandwich or read a book another time? When you're at the red light, just go through it when it changes. These people, I tell you, I don't know how they see when their head's on the seat.
Well, Tom, I know I remember asking you earlier, but I don't remember what you said or if you went into a dead zone there. But they still got a lot of snow up in Traverse there? Or are they losing it like we are?
Must be fighting traffic or didn't hear your transmission, one or the other. KE4ZYQ. I found out from Costco, at least by me there, Rick, they don't sell those little Dixie cups for your bathroom dispensers anymore. So I had to buy a little bigger cups I could use to, I could brush your teeth or whatever and rinse your mouth out. I sure didn't want to put regular cups in there and have to, wash them every other day. Or if a company comes or somebody was there and wanted to use a cup, I don't want them to use my cup. So anyhow, back to you.
Well, a company at your house, I thought that was forbidden. KEWOJ. Tom, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still out here. I just had another radio call on the CMRS, so I had to talk to him about something in regards to work. So I'm up here at the 1690 Bank Road. You know, talking about storing this. I guess I got a numb barrier from all this driving this time around. My shoulder, well, it's not faring any better since January. So that's a whole other trial and tribulation to see what they're going to do with it now.
Well, K4ZYQ, I think I got it. Well, Tom, I don't know if you had surgery on that shoulder. You don't have to go into detail private information. But I don't know if you know of a thing that's good for temporary relief if you want to get some temporary relief of any pain, as long as there's no open wound or healing wound or surgical area. And it's called frankincense. It's an oil you can get. And I got to tell you, if you got a sore hip, sore shoulder, whatever, and you rub that in your skin, your joint area, it does take away the pain for not too bad for a while. It gives you some relief. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, I've been getting lidocaine. They got the ointment, and then I got this other kind of a gel stuff kind of thing. The prescription stuff is the best, but that sort of numbs things up for a number of hours and sort of helps with the pain quite a bit, too. Tom, go ahead.
Well, I've tried lidocaine, and well, I'm going to have to try frankincense. You know, I'm going to have to rub it all over my wife because she's a general pain in my ass and it never goes away. In regards to my shoulder, Joe, yes, I did have surgery on it. I had rotator cuff surgery about 2 years ago, and I felt just after the new year and put all my weight onto that shoulder and tore it up again. So just waiting to see if we're going to do MRIs on Wednesday or what. But I have a feeling I either tore the sutures where the original repair is, or I ripped something else apart. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, Tom, if you don't have any open areas, open wounds or any cuts or anything on that shoulder, buy that oil. It's an oil, frankincense. I got it in a bottle with an eyedropper for dispensing it. And what you do is you put, like if it's your left shoulder, you put a rubber glove on your right hand, put a little of that eyedropper frankincense in your glove area, cup it a little bit, and rub it real good, or have your wife do it. Rub it into your shoulder, and just rub it all around that joint, and you'll be surprised how much pain goes away, almost instantaneous, if not. I had a sore shoulder here last night before going to bed, put it on. It's still not sore. And I just put one dose before going to bed, just a little eyedropper in the glove, rubbed it in, and it's good to go. So and I don't have an injury, rotator cuff injury, but just joint issues, being age and all. So I stopped having birthdays. I'm not getting any older. Over to you, Rick, from KE4ZYQ.
Well, Tom, I sure am sorry to hear about your shoulder there. You've heard quite the trooper there. I haven't heard nothing about it. And so, I mean, you don't do much complaining, which is a great thing. And you're still working every day, so that's got to be hard. A shoulder that falls, you know, pretty much anything you do, you're working with your shoulder there. So I wish you good luck with that. I know what you mean about the medical money machine. They constantly want to be in for procedures and all kinds of stuff that don't seem to have anything to do with the problem. But it all makes some money. And sooner or later, I guess maybe we might hit on something that might work, but I'm kind of doubting it. Tom, go ahead.
Oh, no. They didn't say, oh, yeah, you need surgery. Let's do it right away. Okay. No, that's not how that works. It's a 6 month of tests. You know, CAT scan, x-ray, physical therapy, nerve test, and MRIs. And when he took the MRI, he goes, oh, yeah, it's torn. It's like torn like 30-40%. He goes, it's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse. And 1 minute, it'll just rip completely. So if you opt for surgery, let's do it. I go, yeah, let's do it because I need my arm for work. And the day of the surgery, when he went in there, did the repair, came back out, and told my wife, goes, yeah, it wasn't 40%, it was 100% fair. There was like a little strand holding onto it. It took him 2.5 hours to reattach it, so that's how that went, and I think I just damaged something else. fall from falling and smash. I mean, I smashed my shoulder hard. Break for time. And so when I fell, I hit so hard. I mean, it was just intense pain. I couldn't use my arm for about 2 hours. The pain was so intense. I couldn't move it, couldn't do anything. And I barely got any sleep that night because I couldn't lift it up. So there's definitely something messed up in there. Just I got to go through all the steps. This time it was 1 month of anti-inflammatories, and I'm still not getting any results. It still hurts. It still feels like somebody's either hitting it with a bat, shoving needles into it constantly, or some other pulling the skin right off the bone. So, yeah, it's still messed up. KKK deal for IBO and so.
Okay, E4ZYQ. I used to treat a lot of people with different injuries and surgeries and whatever, recovery periods and physical therapy, so I feel for you. I still care about people like yourself having trouble after the fact with falling or whatever. But now I'm just doing my own therapy for me. I just got done doing it before I went out to Costco today, doing compression pumps on the lower extremities and 30 minutes of pedaling and stretching and all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, try that frankincense. You can order it from Amazon, depending on where you want to get it. If you can find it locally in a bottle, it's an oil. It's up to you, but try one bottle of it, and you might be shocked how much relief you get. Most people, I think, will get it because it does affect, and it doesn't have a bad smell. It's got a little bit of an oil smell to it when you first put it on, but like I said, I recommend gloves on the hand that you're putting it on with so it don't get on your hands. Not that it'll hurt anything, but you'll want to rub your eyes eventually. Wash, you know, you have to wash your hands all the time. But there you go. Over to you, Rick, from KE4ZYQ.
Well, I sure am sorry to hear all that, Tom. That's for sure. I kind of know what you mean. I injured my back in the 80s and had a surgery that didn't go so well, and things have been going downhill ever since. So I got constant pain with that, and then the heart's going, and the lungs are going, and it seems like just about every week something else is going, kind of thing. It's almost impossible to keep up with. But so I feel for you, because I you know, I know where you're at. I can't do much of nothing anymore, kind of thing. So I can't say I know where you're at, because you can still at least get around and do some stuff. So just be careful, young man. There, you got a long way to go. KDAWOJ.
You don't know me very well. My family says I need to be, especially my kids, says that I need to be wrapped in bubble wrap. So yeah, I had the shoulder surgery April of 2023, and then a year and a half later, in 2024, late September 2024, I had neck surgery. So I got two titanium discs and a titanium plate in my neck from degenerative disc disease. And the funny thing is, I also fell last year down the stairs and hit the middle of my back and snapped my head back a little bit going down the stoop in the front of the house. And then I had constant back pain. Went in there and they're like, oh, yeah, you're okay. You know, just tweaked all the muscles, but we do see the compression fracture from years ago. So like I said, I'm just a big ball of mush right now. And I'll be right back. I got a phone call I got to make. KJO.
KE4ZYQ. Well, I hope you're making it today there, Rick. I know I made a goal for me to get out today, which I did. Didn't put it off. Got out and got some things I needed at Costco. Weather wasn't bad. Traffic was crazy, but not too busy or too crowded. Just dumb drivers, as usual, especially on Hall Road. But once I got home and got things put away and sat down, I thought, oh, accomplishment. Feels good to get out once in a while. But my body tells me, what did you do? You know how that goes. I'll throw it over to you, Rick.
Yeah, well, I didn't do much of nothing. Since it was going to be such a nice day, I made it a point to camp out on the front porch there most of the day. soak up the sun, sit in a nice halfway comfortable, one of them Amish-made, what do they call them, gliding rockers kind of thing, with some cushions on it, and it was pretty nice, actually. But the back's hurt, and everything else is kind of hurt, and I got to get out and feed the kitties here in a little while. KEAWOJ.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Tom must be on that call still, KE4ZYQ. Well, I got to tell you one thing that was interesting, which is not unusual, getting out to Costco today, not only driving, but especially inside the store. I didn't think I was in Michigan. I thought it was, maybe it was in Beirut or somewhere in Afghanistan or somewhere. I don't know. I didn't feel like I was in Michigan.
Hey, all right, I'm back for a couple minutes, but you guys keep conversing. And when I get inside and get the dogs out, I'm going to grab my HD and get on the note. KCKGO.
Okay, Tom, I'll catch you later. And, I gotta get out here and take care of the kitties here pretty quick. And, doggone it, Joe, I forgot what I was going to say to you. this getting old ain't for the meat, you know?
Seeing all the foreigners at the store.
No, that don't bother me as much as it does you. I just don't pay attention to them. A lot of them can't really speak English too awful well anyway.
It don't bother me. It's just that it's amazing how much you, when you go out to a local store right on your own, off your own street, and you're in the middle of Michigan, and you feel like you're in Iran or Iraq or somewhere, because 90%, 80 to 90% of the people are not speaking English, and they're all speaking the same language, but just not one you understand. It's like, wow, and I'm in Michigan? Did I wake up in the wrong place today? That's not a complaint. That's an observation. KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was starting to think fishing myself, sitting out there on the porch, and then I realized everything's still ice-covered. But there was quite a few Canadian honkers flying around today. That kind of surprised me because there's not a whole lot of open water anywhere yet anyway. The other day I had a bunch of swans go flying by, and I thought, where in the world are these guys coming from? As far as I know, there's still ice almost everywhere.
Do you know about where I'm at over here? If not, if you had a look on Google Earth, there's been 4 or 5 geese over here walking around honking. And we don't really have a pond or a lake or, I mean, anything big enough for them to want to be around the water. Just a little ravine that goes through the neighborhood. And it's not necessarily, even in the summertime, full of water at all. So I don't know. They're flying across the state somewhere. And they just happen to take a break, I guess. But every year we get about 4 or 5 geese, honkers, out in the yard. And I saw them just the other day, in fact.
Yeah, they like to hang out in big farm fields kind of thing and feed there. And, it gives them big open areas where they can keep an eye on critters sneaking up on them kind of thing. But, there's a lot of little streams, like we got one by the house here that stays open most of the year. I remember in Rochester going through the middle of town, that Paint Creek runs through there. They used to be along there all the time also. So I guess they hang out at some of those places there. But anyway, it was it's good to see the warm weather and the birds flying again.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Yeah, it's nice, as warm as it got today. We didn't have to worry about being froze out. See, there was something I was going to say after you talked about the birds and all. I saw the cats that I told you about. There's a couple cats around here. A night or two ago, I think one was chasing the other one. I heard a growl you know, they were growling. One was growling at the other one. I guess they're working out territorial authority or something.
Yeah, one was letting the other know he's getting too close to his personal space. And they might have to discuss it shortly.
Boy, I tell you, it was hard getting out today, not the act of getting out, just the feeling of the return trip and all that entailed, dropping everything on the kitchen floor and have to pick it up some way or another. My reachers couldn't pick up some of the heavy stuff, so I had to figure out how to pick it up. Because I can't bend down and pick it up, and if I got on the floor, it'd be fun trying to get up. Probably hold on to the stove or something. I don't know. I don't think I could get up off the kitchen floor. But anyhow, nice to have food, some extra food in the house that tied me over for quite a while.
Yeah, I got out the other day and got to Meijer at 6 in the morning there and loaded up on ice cream. Got a whole bunch of Haagen-Dazs pints and some of those Heath Klondike bars there. So I am set for a while.
You must be a brother from another mother, because I got my ice cream the last grocery shop, and not today, but a previous one. And I got my ice cream, but I got something to go along with it. I like the Marie Callender's Thaw and Eat Pecan Pie. Put that in a microwave bowl, heat it up briefly, put a little ice cream on it. There's a little taste of heaven.
Oh, man, shame on you. How could you ruin ice cream with pecan pie?
One compliments the other. I like pecan pie. Not a lot, not often. When I haven't had it for a while, I go, okay, time for some more. And get some good all pure vanilla, all natural vanilla ice cream. Couple scoops of that, that's a very, just a slightly warm pecan pie, that's great. Oh boy, that is a dessert to love.
Well, anyway, I gotta get on out of here and go out and feed Mama and feed my little guy here and get down to hugging the pillow again and watch a movie or two. So, good talking with you, Joe. I was just wondering, I hadn't heard you in the last couple of days. About to give you a call or a text to see if you're doing okay. Anyway, take care of yourself, behave, and we'll catch you later. KEXWOJ.
I appreciate it, Rick. I was under the weather a week or so ago. I wasn't doing too good. Didn't know if I'd be buying the farm or what. But pulled through. So far, knock on wood. But good to hear from you, too. That's why I jumped in with you and Tom. I couldn't help but jump in just to say hello to both of you. And boy, my heart goes out to Tom with that shoulder. Treated many people. I got a sore shoulder that's not from rotator cuff injury that I know of. Just age, arthritis. And that frankincense does work for most people. It works for me, and I know a couple other hams say they use it. 7-3 for now, KEAWOJ, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, okay, and you know now that Tom's explained a little bit about what's going on, I think maybe his family's right. He needs to be surrounded in bubble wrap there. Maybe we ought to get a little fun going here and try and get a lifetime supply of bubble wrap to keep that guy wrapped up. anyway, have yourself a good one. We'll catch you later. KEAWOJ.
Maybe they make those, like the movie The Boy in the Bubble. Maybe we need to get him a bubble big enough that has oxygen fed into it somehow so he doesn't die. You just get inside a bubble ball. There you go. Yeah, bubble wrap too. I don't know. Whatever works. KE4ZYQ, Claire.
W8MU.
KFA, FQN, NADZR.
You
still out there, Sean? KE4ZYQ. Good early evening.
Yep, I am. Just cruising along here. Had to pick up some pizza Friday night. Trying to figure out what we wanted. You know what we're trying to find, Joe, and we cannot find, is a replacement for our favorite Italian restaurant. We've tried several, but they're all like, eh, they're okay, but we're struggling.
Well, that is interesting, seriously, in the sense that I don't remember the last time I ever been to one around here in Macomb County. And it might be a rarity that they have restaurants available within certain counties. I know there's a lot of other ethnic restaurants, as you know, whether it be Polish or Arabic or whatever, or Jewish type thing, Polish. But Italian? Yeah, if you ever find one within Macomb County, I'd like to know, seriously. Back to you.
Well, there's plenty of them out there, but, you know, they're like high-end ones. You know, like you got Andiamo and you got other places that are, you know, pretty, you know, upscale. And I'm sure those are okay, but we're looking for, like, we had this family restaurant that we used to go to, Firenze's. It was in South Warren, 10-mile road between Van Dyke and Hoover. And just a family favorite. We've been going there for decades and decades, and they closed up. Yeah, that Gordon Ramsay came in. He, you know, put his, waved his magic wand and put him out of business. So, you know, thanks, Gordon. And, you know, so we've been looking, and I've tried. They're around. You know, I see there's this one up the road from me, and I was like, eh, this is okay. But my wife's really particular about her spaghetti and her spaghetti sauce. So, you know, I don't make it, right? And then you can, you know, you have to worry about it. But sometimes you want a place to go. I heard about one on Gratiot and East Point. My kids told me about. We haven't tried that one yet. Wally told me about one in Harrison Township. We haven't tried that one yet. So, you know, they're around. Even right by you, there's one at 19 and Garfield. I forget the name of it. I think it's a little higher end. But nonetheless, it's right there. You know what? There's another one in the strip mall there at 19 and Garfield that's more kind of carry-out-y kind of. So they're around.
Yep, could have sell that, KU4ZYQ. And then there's one I've heard about, and I heard about the one you just mentioned in Warren. I've heard the name before, and people talk about it. But there's one, I believe, that maybe what you're looking for your wife in particular, for her taste, I think it's out in St. Clair Shores. I don't know if it's Jefferson or one of the roads over there in St. Clair Shores, like a strip mall, but it's in a mall-type area. I can't give you a name, and I can't remember anything about it. All I know is somebody found it a while back, and I think they said it was pretty good, so I don't know.
Well, I wonder if it's the one that Wally told me about. It's a little up from there, like Harrison, so not quite Shores, but Wally was kind of raving about that one. So, wonder if that was it. Well, anyhow, we'll figure it out. We just got to stumble across the right place, and we're looking for more of a family restaurant that does good Italian. I mean, you can get spaghetti anywhere, right? But. It's kind of like getting Thai food at a Chinese restaurant. Yeah, it doesn't work.
I get you, though. Hey, the sauce is all the part of the food. You don't have good sauce, it doesn't matter as much what the other stuff tastes like. That's a main ingredient to a lot of Italian foods. And I know the Ike's over there, the Arabic-type food, they are better than... I can't think of the one that's here by Lakeside Mall. Lesage, I think that's the one. But Lesage, I thought was all right. It wasn't great, but it was all right for their type food. But Ike's kind of put some out of business there. I mean, they're doing a lot better quality and everything, better taste.
You looking for good Italian food, Sean?
Yes, but keep in mind that, oh, and I do know the Ike. Ike's is fantastic. I don't think they're as good now that they upscaled the place. I think they were better when they were a little hole-in-the-wall recessed in that strip mall, but they're still pretty damn good. But, yeah, Jeff, we're looking for, we like Firenze's. You know, we were just big fans of it. We like their fish. We like their Italian. We liked everything about it. And Gordon Ramsay shut them down. So now we're looking for an alternative. We've tried a few places, but we haven't quite found one that my wife's real particular. I'll eat anything. You know, it doesn't really matter. Hold on. Sorry about that. I just pulled up at Louise here at the carryout. She wanted to know my name. Anyhow, we've tried a couple, and my wife's real particular. But where are you thinking?
Have you ever tried Da Francesca's at 23 and Van Dyke?
Not our stomping ground, so I can't really say that I have. How would you? Is it upscale family diner? How would you place it?
It's upscale, and I'm quick keying. I apologize. No, it's upscale. They used to be a little hole in the wall right across the street from where they are now, but the food was always fantastic. But I would highly recommend if you want to go, make a reservation. Because the place packs up fast, and they've got, you know, the things we all know, you know, the chicken parm and the lasagna and all that, but they've got some, a lot of, you know, authentic Italian dishes, too. I think you guys, be worth a try. And I remember Ike's when they were in the strip mall. My parents lived in that place.
Just real quick, then I'll pass it over to Joe. If you could text me that either in the Discord or direct or whatever, so I don't forget it. Just the name and, you know, 23 and Van Dyke, because I'm here, and it's hard to text yourself. But if you do that when you think of it, I'd appreciate it so that I can put it on my list. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, KD4ZYQ, leaving a little space there. And Jeff, by the way, what I'm about to say, I mean sincerely. Good to hear you. I haven't heard your voice or your call sign on the radio in a long time. You're obviously doing other bands, other frequencies, whatever. So good to hear you out there. Glad to hear you're alive. I've got many people I know personally that passed away recently in the last year or so. And not good. I don't like to hear anybody, whether I know them personally or hang out with them or not. I'd hate to hear that. But you guys go ahead. I'm going to take a break and maybe get dinner here in a little bit at the home QTH, what I just bought at Costco. A couple things I like that are easy to fix and not bad tasting at that. So 7-3 for now, KE4ZYQ. And I'll throw it over to Sean. Jeff.
As they say, Joe, evil never dies.
I think we might have had another break in there. Go ahead.
VE3FIO, I just turned on my rig here in my home QTH, and I heard you guys talk about Italian restaurants. I'm situated in Windsor, and we got a lot of great Italian restaurants. So anybody wants to make a bit of a drive across the border to come and have some good Italian food? There's a place called Spago's in Windsor that I frequent, and it's very reasonable, and the quality is good. So, just thought I'd throw it out there. I'll just listen out. Back to you, VE3FIO, to the group.
Yeah, see if I got it. Yeah, so, you know, that's funny you say that, because I seem to remember being, I haven't been over your side of the river in quite some time, but I seem to remember some good Italian over there. When we were younger, and I've been meaning to get over there for Ukrainian. There's a place. I'm first generation American of a Ukrainian mother, and she passed much too young, 63. I was, you know, a young man, 20 something. Never cared enough to find out how she did things. But it's a little different, you know. It ain't quite Polish, and I've been dying to get over there because there's this old 93-year-old Busha right there in Windsor. It's called Ukrainian Restaurant. That's what it's called. And you go in there, and she's like, sit down. She goes, you eat. You know, And I want to go so bad. I got to get there because she's 93. It ain't going to be much longer. Jeff?
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, connected. Yeah, it's like going down to the Holy Land. The Bougies were the same way. Oh, yeah, I'm just about home. As soon as I get in and settled, I will slide into your DMs and shoot you the inner place. It's really good. But man, if you want to go tomorrow, you call and make a reservation tonight. Seriously. It's that difficult to get into. Once they were always packed when they were a little place. Once they expanded and, you know, bigger building and whatnot, oh, my God, it's crazy in there.
Well, I'm at Louis, so, I mean, who doesn't know Louis, right, for the infamous pizza? You know, we know we'll love that, but I got spaghetti here. It was quite reasonable, actually. A large spaghetti is like $12. Spaghetti with meatballs and meat sauce, so we'll see how theirs is. I don't think I ever came here. Who goes to Louis for spaghetti, right? So we're going to try that and see. That would be convenient for us, but... yeah, I mean, I know there's some higher-end joints that, that are all pretty good. You know, Andiamo's comes to name. There's quite a few. And, so we're kind of looking for that little homey, little family place like Firenze's was. But, you know, maybe that's not going to be the case anymore. Maybe, the days of a little, family Italian joint are over. So I got several links in. I want to thank Donald and Wally for both sending me some suggestions. Wally already suggested one to me that I'm dying to try, but I think it's more of a go-to, and we do a lot of carry-out. So, I'm also, that's coming into play. I do appreciate the tips coming in. We'll find one. Unfortunately, all of them sound good, and they're all kind of a ways away, so we got to kind of, make a trip, make a plan. You know, I think finding anything around me is pretty much over, but, story of my life. Who are we leaving out? I know, I'm not sure. Did Joe check out? I think he said he was going to leave us to carry on, and then the VE3 station. I apologize. I didn't get the whole thing.
You know the other place you got, it's relatively close to you because it's wet, but Maggiano's on Big Beaver. Again, though, that another go-in and sit-down place. I'm sure they do carry-out. I know Da Francesca's does carry-out because I see it going out of there all the time, but, you know, you got to drive from 23 in Van Dyke to where you're at, and Louis, yeah, I work less than a mile from there, so... We usually get together and do Louis once a week for lunch from the office. Anyway, I'm on the runway and into the barn, so I'll be on the cord a bit. Good hearing you. WCD.
All righty. Thanks for the tip. It generated a lot of suggestions, so we just got to get out and try them. That's the bottom line, so. Have fun. Enjoy the enjoy your evening. W8FU. Still sitting here waiting for my pizza. Trying to find spaghetti that I'm easy. I'll eat just about anything, but my wife's very particular about spaghetti. She likes hers and about one or two other places on earth. So we're trying to find a place that we can get it from. So I said, you know, let's go get pizza at Louis, and I'll get some spaghetti from there. So we're going to try Louis Pizza, always a guaranteed winner. And I also got an order of spaghetti, just to see how that is.
There you go, KE8RUA. Yeah, I can understand being particular. We have a lot of good Italian on our side of town, though. So I don't often want for good Italian food, that's for sure. We have so many good restaurants over here.
Yeah, I'm finding that's kind of a theme. It's like here, you know, even Frenzy's wasn't, you know, right where I'm at. And there's a couple of places, like I've got one Salvatore Scallopini's, which is supposed to be pretty good. I haven't tried that. It's right there. Wouldn't it be funny if that was excellent? Just what she liked. I think we've been there before. We didn't go back. That's what makes me. And I don't think it's not a, you know, we didn't go back because we didn't like it. I just, you know, we just haven't been back. And Frenzy's was a different. Frenzy's like a, like an Italian greasy spoon, like a place, you know, that working stiff Italian. So, you know, finding that whole ambiance and genre is just, you know, maybe that's just not going to be the case. But, yeah, I think over your side of town, there's a real heavy Italian population over that away. And maybe I'll have to find something there because I run over there already for El Charo's, right? It's, you know, it takes me 15 minutes to get home with anything from right over there.
I would highly recommend that you give Salvatore Scallopini another chance. That is one of our favorites. We used to frequent the one on Gratiot and 9 Mile, and now we go to the one on Mac in between Maras and Vernier. And we really enjoy it.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know why we haven't, quite honestly. I know they're a little bit upscale from, you know, the whole, you know, greasy Italian, greasy spoon Italian. Not prohibitively or anything like that, but, and it might be that they make this, you know, my wife's, like I said, very particular, and things that you and I might say really makes a pasta really good, she might bum out. And they're like, I don't like that, so. But, yeah, I'll have to try that, you know, and see if maybe there's a, you know, there's something there. I know when in doubt, she'll just get, like, fettuccine Alfredo. That's she likes that anywhere. But, you know, how do you bunky that one up? That's like eggs.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, it is, I wouldn't call it cheap, but I wouldn't call it expensive. You know, it's right on price point with a lot of other sit-down style places. You know, you go in there and you're going to be $15 to $20 to $25 an entree, and, you know, it's just, it's really good in my opinion.
CMN Network.
Uso!
That's not an espresso for you, F.U.
There you go. It's my new thing, man. Anyhow, hey, Tom.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Anthony. I'm sitting up here in my, quote-unquote, mobile base, pushing 5 on the Yagi in my attic.
Very cool. You must be happy to finally have a chat going in the house. You don't have to be on an AC all the time or a node.
Which repeater? I'm assuming you're on Richmond.
Yes, I'm on Richmond, but I could hit Warren and the Central Michigan tower in Detroit, DJs.
That's a haul. That's pretty cool that you can hit that one.
Yeah, there you go. Good deal. So I take it you pointed the, how many elements is the Yagi and which I'm assuming you just pointed at south, southwest.
I mounted it to a copper pipe, and then I put it up in the attic and just wrapped it to a joist with electrical tape for right now. Whatever keeps it upright.
That should be a slogan for Viagra.
All
right, anyhow, I just backed in the driveway. I'm going to get inside with the stuff. We'll catch everybody in a bit. W8FU.
All right, Sean, we'll talk to you soon. And, Tom, I think you were explaining your Yagi there, so go ahead.
Okay, so, look like the four-element UHF, from what I'm looking on here. I see the driver, I see the reflector, and then going back towards the output side, I got 1, 2, 3.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad it's working for you. I've thought about putting one in my attic, or even on the roof, but I'd want to put one of the mechanisms on there to rotate it if I put it on the roof. I just think it would be pretty useful to have that.
Well, what's nice, too, is I also have, I got what looks like one reflector, one driver, and one element for VHF, so it's a duplex.
That's nice. You have you tried to hit the, what is it, the 147.2, the one that you guys do the net on Thursday night?
100% clear as a bell as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got 25 feet of the Amazon LMR 400 special. And just tightened it all down and went up there and mounted in the attic with, like I said, electrical tape and tie wraps and
brought it down to the attic door, across the ceiling, down the side of the door, and then underneath the door, you know, up to the radio.
So it's not 100% installed. It's just, I guess you could say, temporary until I can get my chicken ass over to the corner of the room and poke a hole up there.
Well, temporary's working good, and just remember, you want to get it done probably in the next 2 to 3 months because it gets real hot in those attics. I know I got some work that I got to do. I got to cut and put some new ends on some coax, and I got to do that soon because I do not want to do it in the heat.
Yeah, it gets warm up there. Hold on, I'm going to switch over to the central Detroit tower, see how I sound.
All right, go for it. I'll be standing by. You are coming through, but barely readable. But definitely coming through. I could hear both of our call signs. Tom, I don't know if that's you just keying or there's something else, but you are not coming through on the last two times the repeater was keyed.
This is Romeo.
Definitely have you coming through now.
Okay, so I can receive on Warren, and I can receive on Central Detroit. I haven't tried the UMP yet on Central.
I would imagine you will be able to receive and transmit on the UMP. If you're receiving and transmitting on 7.2.
All right, I just dropped the power down to get back over to Richmond. I can receive on 65, but I'm the UMP repeater, but I might have the PL off on it.
Sorry, I got distracted. I didn't hear. You came through just fine, but I was distracted looking at something.
Calmer, Peter.
What were you saying?
But I can't do simplex down to Richmond, but yet I can go on UHF simplex 447, and I can hit Richmond simplex just fine. It's kind of quirky, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is interesting.
But as long as I can get to Richmond UHF simplex in on the repeater, and I can hit Mount Clemens on 2 meter, I'm satisfied with that right now. I said, because I don't have anybody crazy enough to get this antenna outside.
I'm guessing it would not be an easy install outside.
No, she's up in the attic.
Right, but is it if you were to put it outside, would it be a difficult install?
Yeah. One, we have to poke through the rear gable, the old gable that's covered up by whatever you want to call it, siding, you know, plastic siding. Have to drill through that to get in there, and then run a ground wire all the way down to the earth ground that's on the other side of the house. So, and it's the peak of my roof is 30 feet.
Okay. Yep. That would equal a difficult install.
I mean, if I got a diamond and then just mount it on the gable and then go through that way, you know, at least I have a diamond up there. But again, I'm not crazy enough to go on my roof. I do not like heights.
Yeah, that doesn't work out real well if you're not a fan of heights and it's 30 feet up.
KFA-FQN, go ahead, Wyatt, and pass it over to Anthony, KCKJO.
KCKJO, can you say your last, please? The repeater kind of cut you out.
Hey, Wyatt, this is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Hi, Roger. Right now, I don't know if you've probably heard me on the repeater before, but I'm going to have to use my actual radio. It's the Anytone 778 paired with a KR400 coax with a Diamond X50 mounted on my roof, temporary mounted. Today, I'm supposed to get it, like, permanently mounted up on my roof, but I need your call sign, so can you repeat it one more time for me, please?
Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar, KC8KGO. Hey, Tom, Wyatt Cujo. And over to Anthony, and I got to run downstairs and take in some groceries, so I'll be back out in a bit. KC8KGO.
All right, Tom, it was good talking to you. I'm about to pull into the driveway, and Wyatt, name here is Anthony, KE8RUH. I've heard you on the repeater a bunch of times. Good to finally talk to you. I will throw it over to you, and then probably have one more, and I'll be pulling in the driveway. Over to you, Wyatt.
Hey, Roger. I knew it was you, Tom. I was just wondering about Anthony's call sign because, yeah, I haven't talked to him before. Yeah, I knew it was you, but today I should be getting my Diamond X50A mounted up, like actually mounted up, like properly and stuff, like ground running down, Most of the time, or all the time, I really use Echolane. I use my HD a couple times, but yeah, I'm really happy about this radio. The range on it right now is not that good because my room window on the second story of my house, my room kind of like protrudes out of the house and the garage does, so it's blocking that extra RF signal. But I'll say 7 degrees to you, Tom, and I had a nice time hearing you on the air, and same goes for you, Anthony. I'm really happy to meet you, and I'll hand it over to you.
All right, we'll catch up soon, Wyatt, I'm sure. This is KERUH, and we'll talk to you soon at 7-3. Have a good night.
Yeah, Roger. You both as well. Yeah, hope you get to talk again. And, it's just KSA, FQN, 7-3 all, and clear and listening.
KF8FQN, KF8FSQ.
KF8FSQ, this is KF8FQN, go ahead.
Hey Wyatt, this is Fred. I just wanted to say you are full quiet into the repeater that I'm on. I don't know if you said you're on Echolink or if you're trying out that diamond antenna, but you sound fantastic. Also, I wanted to say me and my fiance, we watched your YouTube review of that NHL radio. Really good review. I gave you a thumbs up on that and I subscribed to your channel, so I'm looking forward to more content. KF8FFQ.
Roger, well, thank you guys. Yeah, it was kind of a quick review. I read some things about the NHL and slapped that video together. But thank you guys for watching my YouTube channel. I really appreciate it. And, I might make a video of my dad and I mounting up the Diamond X50. But it's really nice hearing you on this repeater again. I believe we haven't talked in a while.
Yeah, I get on here and yak every now and then, and then they tell me I'm burning up the repeater by not letting it time out. So. But yeah, no, I'm just joking. I haven't heard from you in a minute either, but it's good to catch up. There's something else I was going to ask you. Oh yeah, putting up the antenna, that would be really cool if you and your dad made a YouTube video for that, because I'm looking at doing something similar. My antenna is currently just kind of bolted to a fence post, so that would be really cool if you guys could go through the steps and make some videos on it.
Yeah, Roger. Kind of something wrong right now. That KR400 coax. You probably know what it is. It's like that thicker coax, less signal loss. I don't know what it was at. Like, I've never heard of it until now. But me personally, I like it. Again, you don't have to. It's whatever you have. It's whatever you like best. But I'd recommend, if you probably already have it, that type of coax. But right now it's mounted with a metal pipe for electrical. And it's mounted onto that on the second story of my house, and it's temporary right now. My dad and I set it up yesterday. I just tested out how it works before my dad bolts anything to the roof. But it's in a bucket full of rocks, and then there's another bag full of rocks supporting it. We should be mounting it today in the very top of my house, so it'll be about 50 feet high.
That is super cool. I'm excited for you, man. That's great. The LMR, TMR 400, I think I have a knockoff version of that. I went cheap for my first cable run, and now I'm paying for it with the FWR. But one thing I did add to my run is a choke, and that seemed to do a lot for me over the old UHF. So. Food for thought. Look for a common ground choke. Your mileage may vary, but it sounds like you're doing everything right anyway, so I don't think you need my advice. Yeah, I'm going to have to get started on dinner here, Wyatt. I just wanted to catch up with you. I'm going to go ahead and 73 here and listen out, okay? KF8 FSQ.
You're Roger. Yeah, we're doing that ground, I think. Probably not today, but if we do, I'll make the YouTube video, include that in, and if not, make an extra one. But yeah, it was good catching up with you as well. Good hearing you again, good talking to you again, and good luck on your dinner. And this is KFA FQN 73. Good evening and clear and listening. KFA FQN clear for now.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8RIT.
This is KFA F2N listening.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, see, FQN listening. Yeah, see, FQN listening.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
NACDR monitoring
2380. KFA FQN, this is KFA FQN. The station that was just transmitting, you're extremely quiet on here. I could barely make out what you're saying.
Hey, Wyatt, it's NKTZR. Do you hear me now?
Roger, I hear you clear now.
Did you guys put that antenna up? Over?
Negative, no. Today was too busy for my dad and I and stuff, so...
You can put it out. Tomorrow we will, though.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm really impressed. I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to hear the antenna, over.
Yeah, Roger, yeah, if it's doing this good right now, then I can imagine it higher up in more line of sight, like there's no obstructions. But, yeah, I can't wait to see it up too as well. I'll send you a video picture. I might make a YouTube video on my channel about it, setting it up.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I gotta get my antenna mounted too. I don't know. I might wait till warmer weather though.
There you go. All right. Yeah, Roger. Well, yeah. Can't wait to hear your antenna as well too. Isn't that cable that one already mounted? Or if not, what kind of antenna are you gonna mount up?
I'm going to mount a J-pole, I think. Yeah, it's only about 5 feet long, and it's inside PVC pipe, and I think we could just put it on the peak of the roof. I got to figure out if I'm going to go up on a ladder on the side of the house and put it up, or if I'm going to go up on the actual roof. I might just do that. It might be a lot easier just to climb up on the roof and reach over the roof to mount it. But I don't know about drilling a hole for the coax. I don't know how if I could reach that or not. I don't know. I got to think about it some more. Over.
Hey, Roger. My dad and I are having kind of the same problem, like where to feed your coax or something. But I know what we're kind of doing. See, like right now, it's melted in the bucket of rocks and stuff. We have about a 5-foot metal pole. I think I told you that yesterday, electrical pole. And, yeah, it's melted down to that and stuff, but, yeah, we're taking a, I think it's some plywood or, like, solid wood, and, we might be using that, and then on a very, tippy top of our house, we're mounting that, and then we're taking some brackets and mounting it on and stuff, and plus a metal pole, but I think, my dad's like zip tying the ground wire all the way down to, or putting the ground wire all the way down down our gutters and to our flower bed. But the coax, he's zip tying to the pole and it's gonna run all the way down, probably like straight center line down the outside wall of my room, my dorm room, and probably it's gonna go through like the crack of the window and it's like sealed up with some I don't know, weather strip or something.
Awesome. It sounds like a good project. Yeah, I'm really excited for you. You'll be able to get out all over the place. You know, maybe you can hit some Canadian stations, too. Over.
Roger, hopefully. I can hit this repeater, the Romeo 1, sorry, I'm breathing into my mic there. The Romeo repeater, maybe the range on it's not really that good, but obviously it is. Yeah, as of now, I can't hit a repeater no farther than 20 miles away because of my dormer obstructing it and the garage. It's kind of like reflecting the RF signal. So, yeah, hopefully when we get it mounted up higher and the extra, 50 feet, that should get me out really far. But, all we can do is see and hope.
Does that antenna mount on a piece of pipe, like a 2-foot piece of pipe, so it covers up the coaxial connector at the bottom of the connector? Over.
There's probably a way you can do it, but, so there's a, I forgot what it's called, but you have your, some washers on it, and your nuts and stuff, and it's like in the shape of a half circle, and that's like the main thing, and yeah, you take a metal pipe, and you kind of like
like, so on the very bottom of the antenna itself, that's like your coaxial, your PL, your SOT39 connector, and, like, you can't mount it, like, that way, were you thinking, where you, like, put down the pipe or something? I don't know, like, if that's what you're saying, but, like, you mount it to the side of the pole, with that, and really, you just have to run your coax down, the pole, like, it, you don't, you can't run it really inside, the pole, because the way it mounts on the side of the pole, if that's what you're asking.
As I recall, that antenna went into like a little piece of pipe that was about 1.5 feet or 2 feet long, and that shielded the SO239 connector. And that's what I'm worried about, is having that thing exposed and covered up with tape. I'd like to see it inside that pipe, and then you mount that little piece of pipe to your steel pole. You know what I mean? Over.
Yeah, Roger. Hey, look in the Discord. I sent the picture of it in the Discord. I tagged you in it. And it'll show you how it's mounted.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look at Discord. Because if you put that antenna in that little piece of pipe, that pipe will protect that SO239 connector. I'm really concerned because that doesn't hold up the moisture very well, and that's why you got to put that coaxial tape on it. You know, some people put electrical, one layer of electrical tape, then they put that coaxial sealant that I showed you, that I sent you a picture of, and then they put more tape on top of it, you know, to keep it out of the elements. But if it's inside that pipe, that little 2-foot piece of pipe, you know, that gives it some more protection. Over.
Yeah, Roger, yeah, that's where you're coming from. I haven't heard that they don't stand up to moisture good, but obviously I believe you, and I'm not willing to risk it. But yeah, like I said, I might just use electrical tape, and then once I get that, I might leave it on, electrical tape as an extra, like, layer of protection, like what you were saying, and put, like, that putty stuff on, so kind of more permanent. Because, like, in the picture right now, my connectors are kind of exposed. I know, like, the radio and doors you don't have to worry about, but, yeah, I'll definitely do that. I don't want to risk it. It took way too long to get that coax, so thank you for telling me.
Okay, well, this is NHBZR for ID. We're just coming back from this restaurant I went to with my brother and sister-in-law, and they had, like, a trivia challenge, and we were working on that trivia challenge thing. It was a lot of fun. So I'll go to Discord when I get home here. I'll be home in just 2 minutes, and I'll take a look at the Discord pictures. Okay? All right. It was nice talking to you again. Thanks for the QSO. And we'll say 73s, and we'll be standing by. Over.
Hey, Roger, well, I had a nice time talking to you again. That's 2 nights in a row, and it seems like the same time. Kind of like a schedule going on here. But, yeah, I enjoyed talking to you, and I hope we get to talk again. And you have a good night, and this is KFA-FQN 73 to all, this is KFA-FQN, clear and listening. Yeah, I'm going to bed, 73 to all, and have a good night, everybody in this, anybody who's listening or something, and this is KFA, FQN, clear.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.